was going to say, when you get up our age, it's good to be anywhere. It's just good to be seen. Hallelujah. I appreciate this opportunity to share the Word of God with you today. Brother Knopfinger said, "Are you prepared?" I said, "No." Turn in your Bibles to the book of Acts, if you would. Acts chapter 1. If you preachers have preached this message before, remember there's nothing new under the sun. Amen. Amen and amen. I tell you what, since the hurricane has hit down there in the panhandle of Florida, some of you know, maybe some of you don't know, I have a daughter and a son-in-law that he pastors down there at Spring Creek, Georgia, Bainbridge, Georgia, which is just a few miles from Tallahassee. And the eye of the storm came right up through there. And as much as the pictures that you've seen on TV of Panama City, Mexico Beach that used to be there, that's not there anymore, they have the same thing there in Bainbridge. They have no electricity. They have no water. They have trees everywhere. And so I worried myself sick over them. And I told him that coming tomorrow, I'll go get a generator, load it up, and take it down there to them. And their church has been pretty well hit. It blew the steeple off and took a few other buildings away from it and so forth. I guess the worst was that one of their church members granddaughter was struck by a slab of concrete and killed. And that's what makes it worst, I guess. But be praying for them. God is good. And God won't leave us forsaken. He'll take care of us. So this evening, I'd like to bring you a message on some things that Christ left behind when he was up on the mountain of Transfiguration, when he was departing. He left some things behind for us to consider. You know, Jesus Christ, it says in Matthew 1:21, it says, "She shall bring forth her son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." What this means is it means he must give his life a ransom for mankind. That was his purpose for coming to this vile world as it was. It was in the flesh of a man. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth shall not perish but have everlasting life." Jesus said it in John 19:30, "It is finished." He said that the atonement for sin was more, there was nothing more to be done, for salvation is complete in Jesus Christ. In Jesus Christ. So as he left this earth ascending into heaven, he left behind some things. And that's what I want to see in Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. I'll probably read a few verses here. If you don't mind, I would, as our habit there at our church, is I'd like you to stand with me, please, and stretch as we read God's Word in reverence to God's Word. It says, the former treatise have I made, O Theopolis, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach, until the day which he was taken up. After that, he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the purpose of the Father, which saith, He ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, will that at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel to Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the othermost parts of the earth. And when he had spoken these things which they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they were looked steadfastly towards heaven, he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven, when this same Jesus, which he had taken up from you into heaven, ye shall so come, like manner as he has seen him go into heaven. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this evening for your goodness and your mercy. Father, it's been so good. It feels like that I've been up on the mount with Jesus these several days. Father, the preaching has been great, and the blessing of the Holy Spirit has been tremendous in all that we've done. Father, I want to thank this church for the efforts and the food and all that they have provided. Father, thank you so much. So you lead and guide us now as we are coming to a close and to an ending, Father, to this wonderful time. And we'll give you the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Now, Jesus came to this earth to die, so that you and I may have the promise of heaven. You know, I got to, as we got news of the little girl, thoughts came through my mind. My first thought was, I asked my wife, I said, I wonder if she knew the Lord Jesus as her Savior. And my daughter said that she was saved in Vacation Bible School. They're in that church. And my son-in-law, When they baptize them, they take them out in the Spring Creek where all the alligators are, and baptize them out there in the creek, and so they remembered that. And then my other thought was, I don't want to be one that, when I'm laying out here, I don't want to be the one that you have to guess about. I wonder if he went to heaven. I wonder if they went to heaven. I don't want that. I want my kids to know. I want my friends to know that Ron was saved, born again, and when he died, he stepped over into the portals of heaven. I don't want them to have to think that, wonder where he went. And as with my family, they all passed, mom, dad, they all gone. And I was too young to know. I don't know where they went. I really don't. But I don't want my kids wondering about me.
Right.
I want them to know that when I leave this earth, I'm going to step into heaven.
Amen.
Amen. So when Jesus left, he left us some things to do. He left some things for us to do. Number one, as I said in Acts 1, it says, "And for all that Jesus began both to do and to teach," he left, number one, an unfinished task. An unfinished task. All that Jesus began both to do and to teach. Number one, his task was not finished. Luke 19:10 says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." As long as there is one person out there, as long as there is one individual out there unsaved, his task is not finished. Number two, he left that task for the church to do. His church. He left the task to be finished by his church. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I will be with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Listen, every church, I'm sure, has an opportunity for, we call it visitations, door knocking, cold visits, whatever you want to call it. But where to go? Where to go door to door? Where to go out into the streets and the highways and byways and save, and we don't save the people, but to witness to the people and get and have the Lord Jesus Christ save them. Listen, he left an unfinished task. And as long as there are people out there that need to be saved, his task is not finished. Number two, in verse 3, he says, "To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, after seeing many of them 40 days and speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God." Number one. Number two, he left an unchallenged message. You know what? The message of salvation cannot be challenged. It cannot be challenged. It can't be challenged by man. We have groups going around. We have groups, Mormons or whatever. I won't name them all, but we have people that challenge the Word of God. We have people that have a different way to heaven. There's only one way. Jesus says, "I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life." So we can't challenge it. Man can't challenge it. You know, Satan can't challenge it. The gospel is on. The cults can't challenge it. It is a foolproof gospel. Anyone I consider challenging the Word of God will probably fit in that number that's mentioned in Revelation 20:14. It says that they will find their place, and the death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life will be cast into the fire. Listen, it was an unchallenged message. That's what he left us behind, an unchallenged message. He also left behind an unquestionable love, an unquestionable love. Also in Acts 1:3, "To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs." many infallible proofs. No one can question the love of Jesus that is exhibited by the Son of God. No one can. No one can question the love of God. He who has given his life for you and I, and that we may live forever. He came down on this earth, lived for 33 years for you and for me. And then they took him and they hung him on a cross. And Isaiah said he was so marred that he couldn't even tell he was a man hanging on the cross. He did that for you and he did that for me. That's an unquestionable love. He gave his body at the whipping post. He talked about the cat of nine tails earlier today. My word, what a way to have to give his life for man. What a way. He gave his body at the whipping post. He who shed his blood for an uncaring world and a question and a generation of perverts. You know, that's what we've got today. We've got a generation of perverts. He who left his home in heaven and came to this world of sinners. That's an unquestionable love, an unquestionable love. He who rejected him and nailed him to the cross, he came to this world for us, for them. He who in his love cried out to the Father, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He who bowed his head in shame and suffered and then died for a world who hated him and wanted nothing to do with him. An unquestionable love, an unchallenged message, an unfinished task. Another one is, I don't forget what number we're on, but an unshakable testimony, unshakable testimony. Look at verse 10 in Acts chapter 10. And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. If we could just get professing Christians to look steadfastly towards heaven, amen, our task would be much, much easier. But it's hard to get professing Christians to even come back to church on Sunday night, much less Wednesday night. I tell you what, but it's an unshakable testimony that Christ left behind. He left an unstoppable force. Amen. He says there in verse 10, ye men of Galilee. Luke 24:49 says, and behold, I sent you a promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem till ye be endured from power on high. Acts 2:4 says, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. The fear of man didn't stop them. Sometimes the fear of man stops us. Sometimes we'll go door knocking, and the fear of man will stop us. I'll tell you what does put a stop. They got them signs on the door. No, you know, what does that sign say? Huh? Yeah. No solicitations. Listen, we've got men at the church that say, well, I don't care what that says. I'm knocking on it anyways. So they go knock on that door. No solicitations. Amen. I tell you what, the fear of man didn't stop these folks, though. In Acts 5:28, then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than man. Amen. They took their command personally and went into all the world. Persecution didn't stop them. When we wake up and realize that we are an unstoppable force, listen, we're Christians. We're unstoppable. We have, you know what? We have something they don't have. We have the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. That's lived within inside us. And the world must reckon with, and we are willing to go out on a limb a little further, we can begin to see New Testament results coming about. Another thing is he left an unfailing promise. I like this one, verse 11. And which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. It's an unfailing promise. Jesus is coming back. Jesus is coming back. Pastor preached on, he started a Sunday school series on the prophecy. On the things of prophecy. Listen. Jesus is coming back one day. Amen. And it won't be long. There are no more prophecies that have to be fulfilled. Y'all preachers know that. He could come today. He could come tonight. He could come before we get home tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. An unfailing promise. 2,000 years ago, Jesus stood on a mountain overlooking Jerusalem and said unto his disciples, let not your heart be troubled, folks. Believe in God, also believe in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. And where I am, ye may be also. You know, he's given us that promise, and I hold fast to that promise. I'm looking forward to one day going home to heaven. I'm looking forward to that day. Now, I guess my concern is that I have family members that won't be following me if we don't reach them soon. And I really think the Lord's coming soon. I really do. I really do. But he says, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why do we stand up gazing into heaven? The same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall also come. Come in like manner as you've seen him go into heaven. I'm looking forward to that day. I'm looking forward to that day. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your goodness and your mercy. Father, thank you for allowing me to preach the word of God this evening. Father, I ask you to lead and guide us now. Thank you for these folks. Thank you for all your goodness and your mercy. In Jesus' precious name, amen.